Well, greetings from Oslo, Norway. And this is iFaith number 117, which comes from the only book of the Bible that has just two chapters, and that is Haggai. Before we begin, though, let me clarify a little bit about the previous talk from Joel. The prophet Joel looked ahead and saw the day of the Lord on three different levels. Now, I titled the lesson, The Day of the Lord, Babylon, Jerusalem, London. That's what I want to clarify. So the first day of the Lord was the punishment that came to God's people, as he promised in the Torah, and this was through the Babylonians, and it led to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in the 6th century BC. At the second level, the prophet Joel could see ahead to what would happen in Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost, as the last days began and as the Holy Spirit became available. But there was a third horizon, you could say. The prophet could see ahead to an ultimate day of the Lord, that is a judgment day, which would be in all the earth. This is not just about Israel. It's not just about Babylon. This is about London, about Cape Town, Washington, D.C., Beijing. This is for the entire world. This is for Chennai and Melbourne and Rio de Janeiro and Mexico City. That is the judgment day. I hope that clarifies the title. Now, Haggai, a poor investment. He's going to give some very specific advice. Just a few introductory comments and then we'll be on our way. Haggai and his comrade, Zechariah, promote the temple. They're encouraging people to build it. A beginning had already been made. A foundation had been laid around 535 BC. This is 15 years later, and they still haven't finished the thing. On the other hand, from the earlier prophets, we have warnings and urgings to watch out for the temple. In a sense, the temple is dangerous. Amos 5 talks about that, Isaiah 1, Jeremiah 7. We can be completely deceived thinking that because we've got church or because we've got this building, the system, that we're okay. And the prophets say, no, you're not okay, not at all. And so these two principles are in tension. That is, the established religion, the temple, can be your friend, it could be your enemy. Now, Haggai is for it. He says we need to build this thing and get our priorities right. Make a good investment. But the earlier prophets were warning people because they were trusting too much in the temple. See what I mean about the tension? Second, the pre-exilic prophets, that's the prophets before the exile, ministered to a sinful and violent nation. The nation had plenty of energy, just not for God. But the exilic prophets, now that they've been given the possibility to return, they minister to a nation that is desperate. They're struck by despair and even sluggishness. Their faith is so low, their efforts are quite meager. The exiles, when they were in exile, longed for their land. They couldn't wait to get back and to worship in the temple. And yet when they got back, they don't put their money where their mouth is. They seem to have forgot the priority. They seem to have forgotten the longing. That's the third introductory comment. Fourthly, as long as the temple is still in ruins, national pride is not possible. And the temple has been in ruins for a long time. Even though the temple was, the foundation was laid in the 530s, it's now nearly the year 520. What's going on? It's a short book. We're going to be mainly focusing on chapter 1 and one other verse later on. So let's read. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Just a moment. So we have several people. There's Haggai, who's the prophet. You've got Zerubbabel, who's the governor. You've got Joshua, who's the priest, the high priest, right? The Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts says this, these people shall say the time's not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruin? Now the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but you never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it. Now, this is his message. See, the people are working on their own homes. They're putting in the ceilings, the paneling. I'm not sure this is, it's probably not expensive. I think this is just basically finishing off their own homes. But the house of the Lord is in ruins. And he tells them, look, your priority has been to focus on yourself, not the Lord's house. But what's happened? You've had the strategy. You've planted seed, but things aren't growing. And you're not eating enough. You have clothes, but you're not warm enough. And a feeling many of us can relate to. You put your money in your pocket and you got a hole in there. Where does all the money go? Especially in days of inflation and international tension. Haggai's various prophecies can be dated because he gives us the dates. He gives us the dates in the ancient calendar. It's simply a matter of updating it to our calendar. So that first one comes from the 29th of August, where I just read, he's addressing the religious authorities. Why on the first day of the month? Probably because others would hear it. And others needed to see the religious leaders change, because the depression of the elders is affecting everyone. And Haggai was trying to put fresh courage into the group so that the rebuilding would continue. Maybe you've been a Christian quite a while. You're an elder. That is, you're older than others and you have influence. I don't care what your title is. You do affect the people of God. And if you're depressed and you can't get motivated and you're not a person with the right priorities, that affects everybody. Don't be deceived. Haggai can put courage into older guys, people maybe like you and me, and that can end up inspiring others. Now, some people may have objected to Haggai's strategy. What? Take funds, divert the funds that we need for our homes and for agriculture, and we're going to jumpstart the economy. We need this money. We need to finish our houses. But this is the approach that these people have been following for many years. And things are not working out, as Haggai says. It's really not going well. You need a different strategy. It's not that what you're doing is totally wrong, but in terms of investment, this is not smart. And I know that people in the world will criticize you if you tell them, oh yes, I want to use a good part of my income and time to help the poor or to promote the work of the church. But God will honor those who honor him. And as it says in Proverbs 3:9, we are to honor God with our wealth. Well, that was 29th of August. The next oracle is from the 21st of September. And here we need volunteers. You see, the first temple, Solomon's temple, had been built using forced labor. People were drafted, basically. Now we don't have the forced labor. We're counting on the good heart and the sense of the people of Israel to do this themselves. And thanks to Haggai's energy and inspirational leadership, that mindset and that energy are transferred to Joshua the priest and Zerubbabel the governor. That's important, that the spiritual leader here, that's Joshua, and the political leader Zerubbabel are on the same page. And with Haggai, they form a great combination. The third oracle is from October, 17th of October. It's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles and also Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, probably disrupted the flow of work. So material evidence of progress on the temple was probably not much, probably slim. Besides, it's a poorer temple. The new temple's not like the old, we read in Haggai 2. Remember, the old one had gold covering the inside. Hard to top that. The inside's covered with gold. And foreign craftsmen did incredibly fine, impressive work. We read that in 1 Kings 6. So Haggai may have realized that the rebuilt temple, there's no way it would eclipse Solomon's temple now, but he looked ahead to a time of global glory worldwide worship centering on the Jerusalem temple. He said, yes, I know it's not what you are hoping here, but there's more to the story. Don't give up. It's too soon. The second temple is simply not as glorious as the first. So again, there's a larger plan that's glorious by far. And you can trace that theme of temple, tabernacle, God tabernacling, dwelling with his people from Eden to the New Jerusalem, from Genesis to Revelation. That's a great study to do. Sometimes I look back on the first temple, and now I'm not speaking of Solomon's temple. I'm thinking of earlier versions of church that I've been involved in, and I miss it. I miss the energy, the power, the glory, the metrics, the certainty, the way that, oh, the system made sense, even if it was too simplistic. And yes, I'm aware that I'm older now. I have a different perspective. I wouldn't really want to go back and do everything as before, because I'd be doing good things and dumb things at the same time. But I can miss that. And it's not all bad. I think the people of God should have energy and inspiration and should be doing great things. But don't get discouraged if right now it doesn't feel that way. This is what Haggai is telling his generation. See, God's plan is far more glorious than just numbers of people coming to him or the certainty of youth, which many of us enjoyed perhaps more in the past than in the present. Well, the last oracle is in December, 18th of December. You know, I've mentioned four dates. Maybe one of those is your birthday. Good for you. There are actually three oracles on that day in chapter 2. And Haggai is predicting a bumper harvest. See, now people are listening to him. They're working on the temple, and they put the seed in the ground. See, it's not one or the other. Okay, well, we'll put the seed in the ground, and hopefully we can eat. And if that works out, then we'll prioritize church. No. They need to both happen. And because they're being done together, honoring God and taking care of regular business, Haggai says, this is going to be great. There's going to be a bumper harvest. You're going to have so much food. And this is a very inspiring messianic oracle. It's addressed to the governor, Zerubbabel. Moral integrity must accompany ritual obedience. Let me say that again. Ritual obedience and going through those motions of church, that's good, but without moral integrity and without faith, it's not good. So let's have a word of application here. Am I focused on my own house, my own empire, to the detriment of God's kingdom? Am I investing wisely? Jesus speaks of treasure in heaven. Decisions we make here, priority choices we make here, could surround treasures on earth, the treasure we cannot take with us. But there's treasure in heaven, and that's when we put God's kingdom first. I've made some good financial decisions, and I've made some terrible financial decisions. Don't make a poor investment. Don't listen to the critics and the cynics who are trying to pull Haggai down. No, listen to the prophet and his inspiring message. Listen, put God first. Normally, my experience has been, when I put God first economically and don't worry about the money, he normally takes care of us. Yeah, there could be some hard times, but things work out. Now, you may think that today's message is mainly applicable to giving church contribution, to support buildings and staff, and they aren't bad things. And yet, God's agenda and kingdom are so much bigger than that. And we need to have better horizons, bigger horizons. Haggai urges the people of his day to be reasonable, to see the results. What happens when you're simply focusing on yourself and less interested, less engaged in the community of faith? Well, what's happening is things aren't going well. Let's give up that strategy. Let's put God first and then see if the other parts of your life don't come together. Or as Haggai puts it, now give careful thought to this from this day on. And so today, my friends, if you need to reprioritize, do it. Be wise. Listen to the message of Haggai, who tells us don't make a poor investment. Well, next, we're going to be going to the prophet Zechariah, Haggai's contemporary. And we're going to see Father, Son, and Spirit in this book of prophecy. And the message after that is called The Donkey and the Man. I look forward to giving those. I'll see you in London in a couple of weeks. For now, farewell from Oslo. Have a great day.